when we first went into the pandemic, it was really difficult to try and convince people to buy things sight unseen because they just didn't know where the real estate market would be trending. I think this year has been a little bit easier in a sense because they've known how strong the market's been and people have been missing out. So it's they've felt they've kind of had an edge if they're happy to buy things sight unseen.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast, visit joineliteagent.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Elevate podcast producer Cass Charlesworth and host of today's show. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Michelle Stevens of O'Brien Real Estate Carrum Downs. A regular award winner, Michelle was named the top residential sales agent for Victoria at the Area Awards 2020. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here, and I will come back to that area win a little bit later. But I also hear that your office has picked up a recent award and that you've had a couple of accolades this year. So can you talk through what's been happening?
Yeah, it's been a big year, which is exciting. So we've just, the office has just taken out the REIV Residential Large Agency of the Year for Victoria, which was super exciting. I was a finalist for the Sales Agent of the Year. I took out the previous 2 years. So it would have been awesome to make it three in a row, but it was super exciting. It's been quite a big year. I took out as well the realestate.com's Agent of the Year for Victoria too, the Rate My Agent of the Year for Victoria as well, which was extremely exciting. So obviously I wouldn't be able to get there with an amazing team behind me and all my clients that entrust their biggest assets in my hands.
I'd love to talk about your team a little bit. We might jump straight into that because as I understand it, you have, is it both your husband and your sister as part of your real estate team?
Yes, my sister's not anymore. It was obviously a little bit too much. but you know, my husband, he is a part of my team and he has been for about 3.5-4 years now. So it makes it really easy. So because obviously we live and breathe real estate and work some pretty stupid hours. So to have someone kind of sitting at home just waiting for you or not kind of understanding does make it quite difficult. So to have someone that's always in the office with you and you're pulling some crazy hours is really helpful.
And what role does he serve on your team?
He works a lot with buyers. So he's a bit of an all-rounder in a sense. But, he works a lot with buyers. So he'll do a lot of buyer appointments, get some offers, and then hand them over to me to be able to negotiate.
That's a fantastic way of handling it as a partnership. Do you talk about real estate all the time at home?
I think it's like the same in any, relationship. You'll always talk about work and how your day was because, at the end of the day, if I'm sitting in the office, I'm not doing what I'm meant to be doing. Like meant to be out there doing buyer runs myself and doing appraisals and, your listing presentations and just always, if I'm sitting in the office, I'm not. So I actually don't really see him at work. So we get home at nighttime, like, how was your day? Anything new happen? And because I'm never in the office, I'm like, what's going on? So I actually don't see him too much.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Carrum Downs this year. Of course, Victoria's had a very tough year, but you've done very well in a very tough year. What's happening in your market at the moment? What's going on?
It's definitely been a really strong year. We've had some amazing growth, especially in the last 6 months. It's still affordable. We get a lot of first home buyers that come into our area, investors. We also get upsizes and downsizes as well. So it's quite a really good cross selection. My median sale price isn't, nowhere near as high as some of the other people that you probably talk to on here. So I do say small fish is sweet. So we do have quite a lot of, turnover, which is a lot of volume. So lots kind of that happen behind the scenes and everything like that. That I said before that, if I didn't have an amazing team, I wouldn't be able to do it because there's a lot of admin that does go behind the scenes as well. We've definitely had some really good capital growth. So we're not too far away from all your major freeways, the beach, etc. So it's definitely in a growth corridor. It's still accessible to the city and also the peninsula. So it's in a really good spot.
And what have you been seeing as we head towards the end of the year? I know that across the board we're hearing there are a lot more appraisals happening, a lot more listings coming to market. Is that something that you're seeing in Carrum Downs?
Yeah, I feel it's almost because of lockdowns, it's been almost like a delayed spring. So instead of your spring starting, kind of a lot of people gearing up around that August, it's been delayed in a sense. So it was kind of starting more like your 6 weeks later. So it's definitely been a really big back half of the year with a lot of people trying to rush on to get a result before Christmas. Now it's just probably a little bit too close. So I think, we're gearing up for January. So kind of around that second, third, fourth week of January to be able to put new listings on. But it's definitely been quite a big run home.
I'd like to talk to you about managing that volume, because you are quite a high volume agent. In 2020, I think you sold, 174 properties. This year already it looks as if you've sold 264, and that'll probably increase by the end of the year. We're now in December, but we've got 2 weeks till Christmas. How do you manage that volume? How does your team work to handle that?
Yeah, so it's just having a really good system and good team behind you. I'm the only one in my team that does appraisals. I'm also the only one that does negotiating. So every single one of those 270 odd properties, I negotiate out every single one of them. I'm the one that does all the vendor management as well. So you've got to be quite structured to be able to organise everything, but have a really good team behind you that are doing what they're meant to be doing, because I don't have time to be checking on paperwork and things like that. Like, don't put me in front of the computer, because it will blow up in front of my face. That's not what I'm that's not what I'm here for. It is making sure that, once I've listed it, you've got someone that it goes straight to be able to book in your photos, your ad copy, et cetera. So that is Jody that will do all my marketing side of things, getting properties ready to go to the market. Once it's on the market, then it's me communicating with the vendors, booking appointments, all the feedback, negotiating, et cetera. Once I've sold it, it will go through to Jay, which is my team leader, but she'll nurture that right through to the settlement process. So following up any finances, bank valuations, booking and final inspections, et cetera, to make sure that's all looked after as well. I've also got my husband that does a lot of the buyer work as well. Tamara, which is my EA, she will effectively run my life. She'll manage all my emails, because I said don't put me in front of a computer. She manages all my emails, babysits my phone if I'm in appointments. That's something I actually implemented 12 months ago. I've had that role for the last 12 months, which has been a huge weight off my shoulders and has helped me actually. 12 months ago, I felt I was at capacity, and it's amazing to go what we've actually done in the last 12 months by putting that one role in that I never actually had. Because if I'd finished an appointment, there was only so many appointments I could do during the daytime, because I'd come out, I'd have all my missed phone calls, getting on top of things. But now my phone's being able to be babysat, I've only got, instead of having to return maybe 10 to 15 phone calls, it might be one or two ones that I actually need to attend to, because I don't need to be talking to someone that's booking bank valuations and building a pest inspections and things like that. So everything can keep working in the background. So that's really helped me increase my volume. I've also got the other Michelle that does buyer work part-time for me too. And I've also got Gemma, which is our junior role, that will do building your pests, bank valuation, stickers, client gifts and things like that. So we do have a really good team. It is a really well-oiled team as well. I couldn't do what I do without them. I love them to bits, and they're an extension of me, and they're like family.
Do you have any tips for other agents who are starting to establish a team or looking to grow their team when it comes to who they should be looking for and what positions they should fill first?
I think where a lot of people go wrong is they want to employ someone to do what they don't want to do. You might not like doing it, but you might actually be good at doing it. So someone might employ someone to do door knocking, for instance, but you might actually be good at door knocking. So you should do the door knocking and get someone to maybe do the admin, like if you're not good at admin. So you've got to get someone that complements your weaknesses. Like, no one's good at everything. You can't do everything yourself. I'm a massive advocate for that. You've got to spend money to make money in a sense as well. Like, a lot of people get really concerned about putting assistance on. But to be able to grow and expand, like, you need to employ people, but always work out what your weaknesses are and then put that person on first, in a sense.
That's a really good point. I think often...
Let go to grow. Like, some people can't let go. Like, it's, they don't want to let go of something. Is that going to be dollar productive? Do you need to be, you mean, do you need to be doing that in a sense?
So who do you look for when it comes to filling the culture of your team? Do you have any tips on how you hire or who you look for?
Look, it's, I think at the start, when you're just starting out, like, it is obviously someone that you're going to work with, doing well with. You're going to be spending so much time with that particular person as well. But then when you do have a bigger team, it's really important for dynamic and understanding the dynamic of your team. If you've already got really big personalities, well, then maybe you need to look for someone. Like, it might be a really good person for the role, but are they going to fit your culture and your dynamic of what you've already got within your team? Like, if you've already got lots of big personalities, probably not wise to put, you mean, in like a third or a fourth big personality in. So maybe someone else that, you mean, is a little bit, you mean, more subdued. Or if you've got everyone that is subdued, maybe you do need a bigger personality. Like, I do have, you mean, a fair few big personalities in my team. We are looking at filling a role at the moment, and knowing, you mean, how many big personalities we've got, we probably want someone that doesn't have as much of a big personality in a sense. So it's all about, you mean, working out the right dynamic for the team at that particular time. Because I said, you can have, you mean, culture is really important. Like, you spend so much time doing this.
That is very true. Let's talk about this 2020 area that you received, because I'd like to focus on that a little bit, because that was
shattered. We couldn't actually go to Darwin to celebrate. Like, we had to do it by way of Zoom. So that was a little bit disappointing, because it would have been amazing to be there.
How did you find out about it?
We did have to do the Zoom because we had Melbourne lockdowns and everything. So just had, just did the Zoom, and it was, extremely exciting.
And in what ways did you use it after you'd received the award? How did you promote it? Did you use it as a promotional tool for your business?
We did some Facebook boosting. Did some Facebook boosting. Also did, like, Herald Sun ads with it to really target a different demographic. So, like, you'll still have, you mean, your print and your paper, you mean, like, customers and everything, but also through socials. You mean, letterbox drops, even though they're kind of a thing of the past in a sense. But look, we do get a fair bit of traction off them in our area, and just really selling it in listing presentations. Like, this is my achievements. This is, you mean, at the end of the day, you're selling your biggest asset. Like, put it in the right person's hands in a sense. So I've really, tried to milk it as much as I can.
I'd like to talk through your stats for last year. As I mentioned earlier, you sold 174 properties in 2020. Collectively, they were valued at around 113 million. Of course, Victoria was affected by COVID lockdowns during last year. What was your mindset and approach throughout the year to achieve those results?
Look, I think if you don't believe, then no one else is going to, like, no one's going to believe in it themselves. I think the first lockdown, like, when we first went into the pandemic, it was really difficult to try and convince people to buy things sight unseen, because they just didn't know where the real estate market would be trending. I think this year has been a little bit easier in a sense, because they've known how strong the market's been and people have been missing out. So it's, they've felt they've kind of had an edge if they're happy to buy things sight unseen. Like, yes, it's definitely a challenge, but if you're not confident in a sense of selling it, well, then the consumers aren't going to be, you mean, confident of listing their house and selling it sight unseen or buying sight unseen as well. So we did do, like, the virtual tours with the owners. It was actually a lot of prep work for it. So gearing people up around it, making sure people have got the Zoom links, also coaching vendors through actually how to do it. On a Friday, I would spend hours of who we were doing the virtual open homes with, and just making time with my vendors and coaching them through, making sure that we didn't have technical difficulties and I know how to rotate the camera. Just the things that you'd go, oh, there's not going to be a problem, but, like, actually doing the test runs. Like, there was a lot involved in it. We had some really good results, got some amazing prices with it as well. And we're, you mean, able to move people on to the next chapter, whether it was, you mean, buying your home to move into or being able to sell and, move on to that next chapter of your life.
Well, let's talk about your results for this year, because after that you upped the ante a lot. Sold an incredible 264 properties so far this year, as we mentioned, with an average price of $746,000. I haven't done the maths on what that equates to, but I'm gathering that's a lot. What strategies did you put in place to up the ante again? What were your goals at the beginning of the year and how did you reach them?
Okay, so my real goal was I really wanted to reach $4 million in GCI. Like, that's what I really, really wanted to do. We have just clicked over that. So I think we'll probably do that by a couple hundred thousand, which is extremely exciting. So but as I said, like, I wouldn't have been able to go to that level without employing new roles and new people. So we have definitely grown the team in the last 12 months. So by putting that extra position that I've got Tamara in now of pretty much being able to, like, my main person running underneath me, running my life with my emails, looking after my phone when I'm in appointments, that has allowed me to kind of be effectively in two places at once. Like, it's like having a receptionist for, the office for your phone. Like, my phone, I'll have 100 phone calls come through my phone on a daily basis. So when I was, doing your 5, 6, 7 appraisals in a day, having to talk to, 25 vendors, do any negotiating, then returning missed calls, I was at capacity. Like, I had to have that. That's what's really helped me go to the next level.
I have to ask, what does your day look like now? Are you part of the 5 a.m. club or how do you structure your day?
No, I'm not the 5 a.m. club at all. No. I'm a really bad, I'm a bad example. Like, I really am. I'm not your 9 o'clock starter. I'm really not. Like, catch me by, first appointment usually is 10, 10:30. Last night, my last appraisal was at 8:30 at night. I'm rocking in at home at 10:15, eating dinner at, 10:45. So I'm the other end in a sense. And look, our area, it is working. It's a working class area. Like, you usually can't catch people. Like, they don't have the luxury of, don't worry, we can pop home to see the sales agent at 2 o'clock and do the appraisal. Like, majority of my appraisals, they will be a 3, a 4:30, a 6 o'clock, a 7:30. Like, if it's desperate and it's a really big, I will do an 8 o'clock, I'll do a 9 o'clock. I work some pretty crazy hours. I say to my vendors, if someone wants to buy a house at midnight, I will sell it at midnight. I'm not the 5 till 7. I'm more the 10 to 12 kind of thing.
But it sounds like that's for your market.
And you've got to do what works for you as well. Like, if I was getting up at 5 o'clock, like, I'd be no good when people actually need to see me.
That's a really good point, because you're maintaining energy through that latter part of the day. One of the standout features of your awards win was the volume of 5-star reviews that you have. In 2020, you had 59 5-star reviews, and I'm sure that the figures vary this year. They've probably increased a lot. But what do you attribute that great feedback to? What are you doing behind the scenes to facilitate that?
It's customer service. Like, I'm a team. Like, as I said, I cannot do what I do without my team. It's from start to finish. There's someone that will look after everything. But my vendors don't get handballed off to, like, I'm not a director. Like, I am just a sales agent. I do not own the business. I'm like every other sales agent. There is nothing different about me. It's not like a director that they might list with them and they might get handballed off to a junior in the office. They don't. Like, when I say my team, like, I'm the sales agent. But I have people within my team to help me do what I do. So my vendors, they get all the feedback from me with all the buyer appointments, all the negotiating. It comes through from me. So it's not like when some of the other high volumes, like, it will, they get there because they've got the junior agents that are helping prop up their figures, or they've listed them and then they've got different people managing the campaigns. I manage all the campaigns. So that's not feeling like, I think the 5 stars attribute to, like, not feeling like they're maybe getting handballed off to someone else. But they know that, there's people within my team that are, getting the house ready for sale, booking in the staging and photos. Like, I don't need to be involved in that. That's not what I'm good at. Like, that's not me. But then once I've sold it, there's also someone that is nurturing it through to the settlement period. If they've got any questions and things like that, it's, you chat to Jay, because Jay's booking in your final inspection and things. So it's making sure that they don't just get listed and are forgotten in a sense. you mean they're selling their biggest asset at the end of the day, and it's so important to give them the love.
You mentioned in a previous interview that one thing that you would have gone back and done earlier is look after clients, past clients. You would have concentrated on that more heavily. What have you learnt and what have you changed?
Yeah, so we've only in the last 2 years really started actually implementing like a after like year follow-ups, just because, you mean, with the growth I've really had like in my 11 years of a real estate career, like the problem is like you're not, your people that you've had really good experience with and have given you the 5-star reviews that might have sold through you 5 years ago or bought through you 5 years ago, not having the time to be talking to those people. So in the last 2 years, we've just implemented like your 1 year anniversary gift, your 2 year anniversary gift, your 3 year phone call and things like that, versus I've never done that. So I'm a little bit bad. I don't like, and as you would have noticed in my running through my team, I don't have a prospector. Like I don't have someone that is out door knocking. I don't have someone that's calling my database and things like that. That's me in a sense. So if I do an appraisal, I'll do my follow-up. So I'm also doing that as well. So doing the follow-ups for, I mean, okay, we're not ready now, 6 months. Oh, no, I can note in my diary. I'm paper, like I'm not computer, like it's notes in my paper diary of perfect, I'll call you in 3 months' time. I'll call you in 3 weeks' time. I'll call you in 1 week. And doing that, you mean, follow-up. And I think that's also probably helped with my numbers that I do get because I'm pretty diligent with that.
It sounds like it is being reflected in your numbers because that past client care and the fact it's paper-based is interesting as well. We talk a lot about CRMs, but it's what works for the agent.
100%. Like a lot of people, and that's the thing, they'll look at things and go, that's the way that it should be done. There's no right or wrong to this. Like everyone, just be yourself. Like just because something works for someone doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Like you've got to find your system that works for you and run with it in a sense. And just because it's not the normal way doesn't mean that it's the wrong way in a sense. It's right for you. So I'm very big on that. But like if you've just got to find what will fit. But yeah, with the follow-ups, like if I was, you mean, maybe more on top of my past client anniversaries and things for the previous years, we might have grown to these levels or, you mean, sooner or who knows where we would be at now. But you can't turn back time.
No, I heard recently in a podcast, business is a bit like bamboo, like it spends, you know, 5 years underground growing and then just takes off really quickly. And yeah. And we all learn through making mistakes.
100%. Yeah, trial and error. Trial and error, definitely.
How do you go about asking for reviews? So those 59 plus reviews that you've got, when do you ask and how do you ask for them?
Look, I personally don't ask. That's once again my team. That's once it's gone, you mean, unconditional and things, because I think it's really difficult to kind of go, you mean, can you give me a review? Like, you mean, I think so. It's, you mean, my girls will, you mean, do the follow-up and like, oh, you mean, it's really good for, you mean, Michelle to like, majority of our business is from, you mean, referrals. As you know, I'm going to send you through a review. If you wouldn't mind filling in for Michelle, like we really appreciate it. And I know she'll really appreciate it too. So it's actually third party that's asking for me. Once again, you can't do everything yourself. Like, even though it sounds great and it's like, well, you should probably do this, you should do that. Like, you're physically, you've got to make sure you've got the right people within your team doing those things. Some people will ask for their reviews themselves and they might get better strike rates from it because they feel bad. I don't know, but that's what works for us.
Excellent. Let's talk about the market moving forward because we're seeing a bit of a shift at the moment. We're seeing more listings come to market, evening out in terms of supply and demand. Do you feel this market calls for a set of different skills in an agent? And if so, you know, what would they be?
100%. Like, I think that the hard thing is that a lot of people maybe get into real estate for the wrong reasons. They see the fancy cars and they see things like that and selling sunsets on TV and nice clothes and things. It's not like, I think a lot of people like to think it's a glamorous lifestyle. It's not like you live, you breathe it, you work, you work stupid hours to get, where a lot of people want to get to. And the hard thing is when you're in a really good market, like you don't need to effectively sell, like they'll sell themselves, but it comes down to the agent's negotiating skills that will make the difference at the end of the day by asking hard questions and really going into push for that every last cent for the vendors. But when we are in a changing market, it is asking the hard questions. It's, you mean, like, can you see yourself living here? Let's come back to the office. Let's put pen to paper. Like, let's make it happen. You mean, I started an industry where it was, when I started in the market, when it was a tight market, you'd see someone on the shop front window, like back in the day, and you'd grab them, you'd bring them in. It's, what are you looking for? What have I got for you? Let's go shopping. Let's make it happen. So I think it's just kind of getting back to basics. It's, you've got to buy a work with them. Like a lot of people, just the amount of feedback you get from, people not, calling inquiries back and things like that. And that's also why it's important if you're at capacity, put someone on, like, because that's a reflection on you. So it's just making sure that you really work with those people. But yeah, 100%, I think next will be interesting. So whether we're just going through the last 6 to 8 weeks, things have opened up again, people can enjoy life and there's just less sense of urgency and Christmas and things, and whether next year will come along and it's like, okay, cool, I've got it out of my system, I've enjoyed life the last 2 months and let's buy a house. We just don't know. The market will always go up and it will always go down, but at the end of the day, it will always trend up. So
do you have any top tips for agents when it comes to negotiating skills?
Don't be scared to ask hard questions. If they say no one way, then ask them a different way. And if they say no that way, well, then ask them a different way again. Like, I'm like a dog with a bone. Like, people call me like I'm like a bulldog. Be persistent. Persistence is key.
Excellent. And where to from here for you? What are your goals and plans for the next 12 months?
Just keep maintaining what we're doing. I would love to do, this year I set my target of 4 million, which we've just gone over. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go, let's try and do 5 million. Like, because as I said, like, you mean everyone's got a limit, everyone's got a capacity as well. And I want, like, I don't want to lose kind of what I've got. Like, I don't want to handball something off to someone else negotiate or someone else call my vendors, like, because that's going to take away from where I've got to So there's only so much you can do. It's just staying consistent now. Just keeping doing what you're doing. Don't lose sight of that. And always customer service. Like, everything is customer service in life. Like, your restaurant, you sit down, like, you're greeted well, you got great food, they're really responsive, and like when you're leaving, like, everything is a good experience from start to finish. It is no different with anything in life. Like, you'll go to, a shop, like, if the people there are looking after you, you're going to go back there. Like, just always look after your clients, because then you will get your referral business, you'll get your repeat business, and that's where you grow. Boards breed boards. And the problem is if you have, someone has a bad experience, they'll tell everyone, like everyone will hear about it. But if someone has a good experience, they'll tell a handful of people, all right? But if you're looking after your clients and you can give them that great experience, they will come back to you and they will tell their friends, they'll tell their family, and you will be like the choice agent. Like, that's what you want.
That's excellent advice. And on the note of advice, we finish all our podcasts with this last question. What one piece of advice or tip would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Always be yourself. I'm not your cookie cutter real estate agent at all. I've always been myself, and love what you do. Like, give it your all. Like, give it your all. Love what you do. Look after your clients, but just always be yourself, because people list with people. Like, this is a people industry, and if you're not yourself or you're trying to be someone else, you fake, like, people see through it. Like, just, be respectful. Be respectful to your clients. If you're at capacity, put someone on. Like, don't be scared to grow. Like, there is no right or wrong about it. There's no metrics about it of going, oh, well, I shouldn't do that. Well, you might need someone before someone else needs someone. And just because someone else didn't put someone on before they wrote a certain amount of money, like, you might need it, because like me, you might be hopeless at paperwork and like don't want to do that. So there is, as I said, there's no right or wrong. Like, you've got to do what works for you. So,
Michelle, that's great advice. Michelle Stevens, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And awesome. Good luck to everyone and bring on 2022.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast. Visit joineliteagent.com.